So I looked at Bob Lazar, his website, boblazar.com,
mm-hmm.
and right on the first page, he lists all, like, pretty much what he knows. Like, it took, like, 5 minutes or, like, you know, some time to read through it.
Yeah.
And he shows a diagram of the locations, the two locations.
Oh, the Area 51.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then he talks about interactions with aliens that he was briefed on from the team that worked on there before him. Welcome back to another episode of Silicon Valley Front Row. I'm David Lam, and this is Steve Ispas. So, Steve, let's talk about Area 51 today.
Oof. Big topic.
Yeah, I've always wanted to get there, but...
Oh, have you been?
Never.
No, okay.
But I know you recently went there. You got as close as you can, comfortably can.
Yes, yes.
Right? So what was that like?
No, we actually did get as close as you can to the gate, so... Yeah. Well, I don't know. Once you get there, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a gate and a lot of barbed wire. But just kind of thinking what's behind it makes it more interesting, more exciting. So it was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool experience.
What were you able to see from outside, like the perimeters?
I can't really see anything. It's all this kind of desert land, you know, some bushes and stuff, but you can't really see anything. There's an installation where the gate is, but nothing. You know, I guess the gate is so far ahead of the base.
Yeah.
It's probably another 40 miles, 30, 40 miles. It's pretty far.
So even with like a telescope, you can't really see beyond whatever there is. And there's a mountain range, right?
Exactly, yeah. So it's planned like it's surrounded by a mountain range. So you'd have to go over the mountain to see it. I don't know about drones. I would guess they would shoot drones down if you fly them that far. But probably. I don't think they can reach that far anyway.
Oh, right. Given that it's also like an Air Force base.
Yeah.
Heavily guarded.
Right? But there are satellite pictures now. So, you know, you can kind of see it, what it looks like from a satellite picture.
Yeah.
And I think we have a photo that we took over at a little
nice
restaurant there that they have photos. So,
yes, yes.
So, yeah.
I was just going to say with Area 51 and what it's known for, right? Like growing up, I just knew it's confidential, top secret, and potentially this buzz around aliens and UFOs. So this is very intriguing. You know, I guess we could start. So you got there pretty close. Did you feel anything different as you got closer to the area?
Yeah, no, not really, but... The actual reason why we went there, it wasn't just to visit the site. We went to Las Vegas because we're doing a documentary that's going to be on Epoch TV and hope our audience gets to watch it. It's going to be out in May, you know, so I get a plug-in for it. In late May. And it's about a biolab that was found in Las Vegas that was run by a Chinese national. And we covered the one in Reedley a couple of years ago. So that's the main reason we went there. But... No, you don't really feel anything different, you know. It's just kind of a normal place. But there's a small town. There's a small town at the edge of Area 51. It's called Rachel, Nevada. It has about, they say, about 60 people. You know, it's like a really small town. There's a little restaurant there, and there's a gas station, and I guess it's like a mobile home park or something.
Okay.
So talking to people over there, it also feels a little bit eerie because, you know, there's... They're kind of making jokes, but everything they have in the store, in the restaurant, in the store, there's all the either pictures or alien-related stuff, like toys or pens or whatever, or posters.
Sort of like if you're up in the woods in the Tahoe area, you see, like, Bigfoot.
Yeah, right? yeah. Kind of like that. And, of course, they're selling this stuff. They're trying to make money out of it. But it's pretty interesting, you know, and knowing that you're right next to it, it just makes it more exciting.
When it comes to, like, aliens or UFOs, why do you think it's so... There hasn't been so much public information where the government kind of clears the air about it?
Yeah, so I kind of studied the whole thing a little bit because it was interesting to be there and to experience it. So I guess it all started with this guy, Bob Lazar, in the 80s, I think, maybe late 80s. He claimed that he worked there, right? For maybe eight, No. Maybe 5 months. He didn't claim he worked there for long.
In Area 51.
Yeah. Inside the Area 51. I think it's called S4 Lab. It's an even more secretive lab that he went to.
It's like 15 miles south from Area 51.
Yeah. And he was apparently busing there every day and then flying to Las Vegas, you know, every day, like doing this commute from Las Vegas, which is 2 hours away.
Wow.
But they would fly there and then take a bus to the thing. So he's the one who kind of came out, you know, in 92, I think it was. And then he said that there's a military base there and they're reverse engineering alien craft. Mm. And then he claimed that he worked on this project.
That's a big whistleblower deal kind of thing to do.
But you know what's interesting about it? Many people say he's lying, he's making up the story. But what's interesting is that this was 92. The military did not admit there's a base there for another 20 years. So 2013 is then when they admitted, oh yeah, by the way, we do have a base here, an Air Force base since like whatever, 50s or something.
Wow.
So
they kind of proved or admitted to that one fact that he talked about.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
20 least, years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
21 years or something like that.
Yeah. So I looked at Bob Lazar. He has a website, boblazar.com.
Mm-hmm.
And right on the first page, he gives a good snapshot of all, like, pretty much what he knows. Like, it took like 5 minutes or like, you know, some time to read through it.
Yeah.
And he shows a diagram of the locations, the two locations.
Oh, the Area 51. I mean, the maybe Groom Lake and S4 or something.
Yes. Yeah. And then he talks about even interactions with aliens that he was briefed on from the team that worked on there before him.
Yeah.
It's actually really interesting. I didn't think this stuff would be available, but I just recently read about it.
Well, you know, one thing that's fascinating about this whole story is that, first of all, why would he do it? If, you know, sure, people say, to get publicity, but he probably got a lot of enemies as well in the process because people criticize him. They say he's lying. He got threats, you know. So let's say that's a wash, the fact that he became famous through it and also got criticized. But one thing that's interesting is that his story has been very consistent from the very beginning till now. I think he just released, there's just a new movie that came out, a documentary about this, him.
Yeah.
Like, it came out 2 weeks ago.
Just right after you
got back. Yeah, maybe we're even there.
That's such a crazy coincidence.
Yeah, but so he's been consistent all these years. And people say that if you lie, if you make up a story, it's really hard to be consistent for so long. When you're on TV, you know, you're talking to people, you're recalling all of this, not to mention the shape of the disc, the materials, everything that's, all the details.
I see.
So obviously we don't know, but if he's making it up, he's just really good at making up stories.
Right. So what about his credibility? Because he's a researcher, right? If he is lying, wouldn't this really damage his credibility and all that he's researched?
Well, but it's already very damaged now. As soon as he came out.
So it's a big risk.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, so before, I read that before he talked about Area 51.
Yeah.
There was also, like, in 1947, there's something called the Roswell incident.
Yeah. That's a very kind of famous UFO, allegedly UFO crash that everyone talks about, or the UFO people talk about.
Yeah, and apparently around that time, after that crash, coincidentally, a lot of technology advanced, right?
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
I heard about that, yeah. And the first time I heard about it, I thought, yeah, you know, that's a coincidence. But you're right, it's around that time.
Yeah,
I think the semiconductor industry kind of grew or developed more. And I think you end up from having a computer that was the size of maybe this whole studio to like, not like this yet, but it shrank in size quite a bit, like to a radio or something because of semiconductors. So yeah, that happened very soon or just around that time.
Yeah. I wonder if this ties into the reverse engineering and somehow there's a correlation, I don't know, with technology and there's like just more development somehow with, because if what Bob Lazar is saying is true, that researchers are looking into advanced technology from the UFOs,
yeah,
and using that to for our benefit.
Yeah.
It kind of matches up the timeline a little bit.
It does. Right. It does. Yeah. And of course, the question is, and I wonder what you think, the question comes up is that why would the aliens give us this technology if it's true? Or maybe they, because I guess there's two possibilities if it's true, right? One is that they gave it to us on purpose, or humans just got it. No, they just found this, the alien craft, and then tried to reverse engineer.
You know, if there's another possibility that was mentioned, that if the aircraft is so advanced, why would they crash in the first place, right? You talked
about that. Yeah, that's a very good point. And apparently, Bob Lazar was talking about 9. He said that at the place he was working on a specific one, but there was one of the 9 UFOs, that alien craft that crashed. I don't know if they crashed, but he was working on 9 of, I mean, there were 9 of them. Hmm. So yeah, that's a little bit strange that 9 would crash, or even more, right? There's so many crashes.
Right. I mean, they could be advanced, and maybe there was a glitch, or, you know, I guess even with our computers, sometimes they malfunction.
I kind of have a theory, again, if all of this is true, because we don't know. It could be fake. But I do have a theory that maybe the alien technology, this non-human beings, maybe they want to give us the technology on purpose.
Mm.
So maybe they leave a crashed UFO, or pretend it's crashed, or they leave it there so we can get it. And
just leaving it. Like crumbs.
Yeah.
But why would they do that? Is it to kind of, if that's true, is it to like say, to give hints that, oh, you're not alone? Or, speaking of You're Not Alone, that's the name of the platform that movie is coming out on.
Oh, Bob Lazar's movie.
Yeah, right. Or it's on We Are Not Alone.
Something like that.
.com or something.
Well, it could be that, or it could be a way for, again, if this is true and if aliens are somehow watching the Earth and whatever, it could be a way for them to control humans. Because if we use their technology, you know, this technology that's more and more advanced, then we become more and more dependent on it, you know, even cars or whatever. But, you know, the more we move towards AI and all this advanced technology, the more dependent we are on it. So when you use something that someone has it that you're dependent on, then they kind of control you in some way. So
it's kind of like waving a carrot in front of somebody. It's like, oh, you want more of this?
Yeah, well, that, or it's like China, right? China makes... Everything is made in China, right? Oh. Everything you buy, or most things, are made in China. So in that way, they kind of control you, right? They say, well, we're not going to produce anything. You're not going to have clothes and medicine and whatever. So it's just an analogy, but it's a possibility. So the first place we went to in Rachel, Nevada, there's this restaurant, I think it's called Little Alien. And the people there, like, we're trying to make conversation, and I was trying to get an interview with someone. And the guy comes to me, he's the owner, very nice guy. But he says that, oh, you know, we have so much media attention here that we stop allowing doing any kind of interviews on the property, even in the parking lot.
And no filming either?
Yeah, no.
Just by yourself? You can't do that?
They allow us to take pictures. So we have some pictures from there. We can show that.
Yeah.
And one thing they told me that was obvious is that they see a lot of spacecraft that flies very low. And of course, it's human aircraft. It's U.S. Air Force aircraft, like maybe experimental aircraft or whatever.
The bombers, right?
Is that bombers, what they're called? Yeah, maybe bombers or whatever. But apparently there's no restrictions of how low they can fly. So the guy was saying, like, sometimes they're like 40 feet. So you can, you know, you just look up and there's huge bombers just going over the highway, over their houses, and everything vibrates, and, you know, it's crazy, going towards the base.
Wow.
So that was the one thing that they talk about. I didn't hear any other crazy stories, but we didn't get into a lot of detail. Sometimes you almost, you know, there's some people who look like they may tell you a crazy story, but you don't know if they themselves are crazy, right? So you probably, you know, don't want to engage with those people too much, but... Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
And speaking of crazy stories, I mean, growing up, right, when I heard about the X-Files TV show, I mean, I thought it was kind of scary as a kid, but I don't know, when it came to aliens, I don't think I've ever visually saw any. So back then I didn't think about it. I was like, oh, okay, it's just sci-fi. Yeah. I didn't think if they're real or not. But yeah, even to this day, I wouldn't say I've seen any like evidence about it. I just hear people, you know, posting things online. I've written stories about it.
Yeah.
And apparently even there was a court, I think in Mexico, where they were showing evidence of bodies from extraterrestrial beings in court.
Wow.
So, but I mean, I'd say for personally, if I don't, just because I don't see it, I'm not entirely ruling it out. It's like, oh, it could be out there. Maybe there's, don't see it yet. There's a chance, maybe like a point something, something percent chance that it hasn't been proven that it's not or something.
Yeah, it's, I guess, one of the big mysteries of our time.
Right.
And it goes back so many years. I remember being a little kid when my parents and others were talking about UFOs, and, you know, it's always been this mystery that kind of surrounds us, but we never really get the full picture of what happens. Well, somehow I think there's a tendency for people, for some people, when they hear about this, about UFO and aliens, there's a tendency to kind of like laugh or make fun of it. And I really kind of wonder why that is, because of course there's no evidence, you know, and whatever, but there's a pretty good possibility that there's other life in the universe, and if it's very advanced, that they came to visit and they have ways to visit us, and they may not show themselves because they have ways to maybe travel between dimensions and are able to make themselves not visible to us and whatever. So yeah, there's this tendency of people kind of making fun of it, and I really don't know where it's coming from, if it's, you know, some kind of undercurrent that people have, but
It could be that it's because of all the narrative behind it, where it's, they're told to laugh at these things,
maybe,
and maybe it's fear as well, because there's the mystery and the unknown. Like, kind of, if they believe in it, like, what does that mean for the way we live,
right?
And, you know, it's like, if with the files with Area 51 and things, like, if there's more transparency about it, maybe that would clear things up to say, hey, was there anything that landed? And what do people find at the crash sites? I think the truth behind that would clear more things up.
Well, I mean, to give credit to the military or to the army or to the air force, they are saying that no, that, you know, so it's not like they're not transparent. They're just saying no, there was no crash, or we didn't find anything. So, unless it's proven wrong, and maybe there's very few, if any, maybe there's very few people who know anyway within the military.
That's true. Yeah. It could be really contained. So it's that against Bob Lazar's words.
Yeah, Bob Lazar is a really kind of interesting story, because, you know, when he first came out, his first interview in 92, he had a mask, and his voice was, you know, kind of, what do you call it, faked or
oh, like whatever. Like Darth Vader?
In a way. So he was completely anonymous.
Yeah.
The first time he whistleblowed. And then I think it was a few months later that he came kind of in person. And,
as himself?
Yeah, and did the same interview. And I think people ask him, like, well, why'd you do that? And he said that he was worried that he's going to be taken out, you know. But if people know who he is, then it's less likely that he's going to be removed or killed or whatever, because then it's obvious that someone did it because he talked about it.
Right. Wasn't there a quote on his website saying that if something does happen to him, then it could prove that, oh, what he says is true?
Yeah. It's
something along those lines. I remember seeing that.
Yeah,
that is pretty interesting. All right, so to wrap up this episode, we have several questions for our beloved audiences. First one is, what would you like to know about Area 51? And secondly, do you think there's a correlation between Silicon Valley and the technological boom with the semiconductors or other technology in relation to the UFO allegedly UFO crash landing.
Yeah. And all that. I think those are really good questions. And one more question. Would it make any difference in your life if you were told that, yes, the U.S. government or the military or the Air Force does have a UFO stored at Area 51 and they're doing reverse engineering on it for the last 40 years? Would it make any difference in your life? Would you change anything you do? Would it change your mind? And do you think it would affect people's lives in any way?
I know it would probably affect us. We'd probably do more episodes about
Absolutely,
this.
Absolutely, yeah. But we probably still couldn't get in unless they opened the doors. But if they just told us, if they just said, okay, yes, we do have a UFO there and we can't tell you much about it because we're working on it. That's it. Mm. I really wonder if they will make any difference at all. Like, people's attention spans now are so short. Like, they're going to move on to the next news very quick.
We'll see.
But definitely they will raise more questions, obviously.
Yeah.
And questions like, why didn't you tell us before? So
yeah.
I think it's not even so much people caring about the UFO, but caring more why they didn't know about it.
The suppression of the,
knowledge. Yeah, of information. Yeah. Even though it may not affect them in any way, actually probably it does, but.
Hmm. You know, I was surprised that not a lot of people were talking about the Mexican court case, about the
real
bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in. Yeah, the government was talking about it, and they apparently showed the bodies, had a case testimony, and I don't know. I mean, it was public, but it just didn't get as much traction as I thought.
Yeah. My guess would be that because it was the Mexican government, maybe it has less credibility, so people thought, maybe it's more likely to be fake. But still, it's a major country's government that does that. So wow.
Yeah. All right. Well. It's a wrap.
All right.